Anyone else have anything you'd like to say? Yes. Thank you. We're glad to have you all here this morning, LaVon. Glad that Steve's doing well. If there's nothing else, we'll ask you to bow with us while we go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious and loving Heavenly Father, we desire to thank Thee this morning for all that You've done for us, both spiritually and temporally, since we've been in the world. We come today with our hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise to You for being our God and for choosing us to be Your people. We're thankful, Father, that everything is as well with us as it is. Especially thankful that we have food to eat and clothes to wear and a roof over our head. We're thankful that we have a good country and community to live in, where peace abounds. We're glad and thankful to be living in America, this great land. And we pray, O Lord, that it may continue to be so, a bulwark of freedom, a place where Your people may feel free and at home and free from the threat of war. Lord, we're thankful that You've given us a good hope through grace, that Jesus on the cross shed His blood for our sins, and that when our life here is finished, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal and in the heavens. We ask, Lord, that You in mercy remember those who have been mentioned this morning. We know that some of them, according to nature and according to their illness, are getting near the crossing over. And, O Lord, our prayers are with them at this time. Father, we ask You to be with all of us. We are very poor and weak and needy. We need Thy grace every day and every hour. We need Thee to face our families in the morning. We need Thee, O Lord, to face our jobs and our earthly situations each day. Father, there's not a moment that we can get along in this world without Your grace and presence and help. We ask You to continue to be near us to provide our needs. We're thankful that Brother Joe has come back to be with us this morning in this worship service. Father, we ask that You take him into Your very arms and enlighten his mind and give him strength and power of the Holy Spirit, that he may preach in power to the comfort and edification of our souls. Bless us throughout this day with all the activities that we shall engage in. Guide us by Your Holy Spirit. Let us feel Your presence and nearness and guidance. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our precious and wonderful Lord. Amen.
As the different ones ask for prayer for their loved ones, I thought of this passage from the book of Deuteronomy. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. That's the 27th verse of the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. What a great consolation it is to know that we have a God this morning who is eternal, and whose everlasting arm protects his own, both in life and in death. May I read to you also from the book of Deuteronomy, from chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. Chapter 4 and verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard? And live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Now it is an especial delight for me to be with you again here at Nancy's Creek. And here as we begin another year, it is perhaps natural for us to think of the past in some ways, and of the future that lies ahead. To think of all God's blessings, I trust, or at least some of them, we could never remember all of them. But as best we can, as the hymn we sang first, I believe, this morning, count your blessings, name them one by one. We'll never count them all. But what a wonderful opportunity it is to count as best we can the blessings of the Lord. And this reading begins with the thought, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee. And as I come before you this morning, I think of some of those days of the past with you here at this blessed place. I think of the providence of God that led many of you here to Nancy's Creek Church. As the years pass, we recognize that there's one thing that doesn't change, and that is change is always occurring. So long as we live upon the face of this earth, we're going to be faced with change. And as I drove up this morning, I saw again the evidence of that change, as the martyr line is rapidly being cut through what at one time was property originally owned by this church. I thought of all the changes that have occurred since this church was established here in the year 1824, before the city of Atlanta ever began, before there was ever a Peachtree Road over there, before there was ever a railroad. I remember reading some of the old minutes years ago about when the church gave the railroad the right-of-way through this property. And now we come to the year 1986, only 14 years away from the year 2000. And how thankful I am, as I know this church is, that through all these years, since 1824, well over 150 years ago, since shortly after this area of North Georgia was ceded by the Indians to the white man. Through all these years, on this spot, there have been a people who have believed and rejoiced in the great and wonderful doctrines of grace, who from this place, this spot of ground, have heard the gospel preached that salvation is of the Lord. There were times in the past when it almost seemed like a hopeless situation here. There was that time not many years ago when, for a short time, the church doors were closed. And there seemed no opportunity. It seemed no door would be open. But God opened the door. And some of you here in the congregation this morning were privileged to stand there, as I believe I was privileged to stand there as the door was opened and we were blessed to pass through. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. In many ways, it can be a sad thing too. If our mind goes back to those days of yesteryear when we have walked in disobedience and when we failed to do those things that we should have, it can be a very sad and trying thing in our life. But I'm thankful that even though we have such memories, that God tells us in another place, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. If we have those seasons and those memories of the past that disturb us, we have such a wonderful, forgiving Savior that He says, forget those things now and press on to the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God as it is in Christ Jesus. But as I say, memory is also a wonderful thing. And so often, the memories of my labors with you come to my mind, and they're pleasant and sweet and encouraging. And I want you to know that even though I haven't been here in a while, that I think of you often, and you're a strength to me a long life's way. And so I think of this passage not only for that reason, but for others that perhaps I shall shortly speak upon. When Moses wrote, "For ask now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth." I think as we read this passage that we readily recognize that Moses is especially talking about the deliverance of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. And so we ask them to remember those days. And ask from the one side of heaven unto the other whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Indeed, there had never been anything before or since, for that matter, like the deliverance of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. Those Israelites had been in bondage for approximately 400 years. They had been literally slaves to Pharaoh and his cohort. But God delivered this nation. Why? Was it because of any good thing they had done? There's no evidence of that. But as I read to you, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? Now, as I speak to you about the deliverance of the Israelites from the land of Egypt, taking this nation from the midst of another nation, may I also remind you, each of you who has felt the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life, that God has also done the very same thing for you. I said that insofar as a deliverance of these Israelites from the land of Egypt across the Red Sea, I said there'd never been anything like that before or since. That's true, literally, insofar as a actual nation of people. But on the other hand, down to the ages of time, God has been delivering spiritual Israelites from the bondage of darkness and death to the liberty of his dear Son, and giving them the glorious and the wonderful opportunity to follow him as his disciples. So as I read this passage this morning and speak to you of the deliverance of national Israel from the land of Egypt, I'm also describing the deliverance of you who love the Lord from the bondage of sin. And just as these Israelites were in the bondage of Egypt, that darkness of Egypt, so God's people one time were in the bondage of sin. They were utterly unable to deliver themselves from that state. But God loved this people, and God loved this nation, and he delivered a nation out of a nation, just as he did these Israelites in the long ago. And as he says here in describing his power in delivering the Israelites, he says, by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And he's reminding these Israelites, don't forget this. Remember this all the days of your life. In fact, God gave them a supper, these Israelites, a supper to keep, known as the Passover Supper. To remember the time that the death angel passed over the households of those Israelites in the land of Egypt on that last night. You remember what God said to the Israelites? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where the word Passover comes from. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What was the blood? It was the blood of those lambs that had been slain, and the blood was to be sprinkled upon the lintels of the doorposts of every Israelite household that particular night. It was the Israelites who received that message, not the Egyptians. Here we see the choice of God. Here we see his electing grace and mercy. But God chose a people, God chose a nation out of a nation. And so it is down to the ages of time, God has chosen a people out of a people because he loved them. That's the only reason we can give this morning, because God loved them. And he chose a people. And that death angel that would forever separate us from God. The wrath of God, in other words, passes over us. Why? Again, because of the blood. Not the blood of those lambs that were slain there in Egypt, but the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb that John the Baptist beheld as he was baptizing there in the River Jordan. You remember as John was baptizing in the Jordan River that he looked. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." God's Lamb. A Lamb unlike all other lambs. There's never been a Lamb like this Lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So God provided himself an offering. God provided himself a lamb. There had been many lambs offered before the coming of Jesus into the world, but not one single offering cleansed men, women, boys, or girls from their sins. But this lamb's blood had the power to cleanse from sin and death. And that's what we're to remember. For as now the days are past. Oh, it's wonderful to have that window in the soul where we can look back toward Golgotha's hill. Past the way of Golgotha in our meditations and in our thoughts, and receive that wonderful and blessed assurance that we were among those that Jesus remembered upon Calvary's cross. You've come here, I believe, this morning primarily to remember that day. And I hope often in your meditations you pass the way of Calvary and you see him there suspended between heaven and earth, giving his life that we might live. Moses went on to say here, "Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him." That's what has been emphasized here at Nassau's Creek Church all these years. That there is none else beside him that brings salvation unto his beloved. As Jonah said from the belly of the whale, "Salvation is of the Lord." And so that's the proclamation that the ministers from this pulpit have proclaimed going on 2 centuries. But it goes way beyond that, my friend. I wouldn't want to limit it to 2 centuries. That's, when you think about it, that's just a small part of all the time that has passed. But as we read this wonderful book, and may I remind you, this is the book that we can trust. And this is the book we ought to recognize as the man of our counsel. There have been many books written down through the years of history that have attacked this book. And many people have tried to prove this book by other books. But may I remind you this morning to try all other books by this book. And as we read this book, as we feast from its pages, we see the pilgrimage and the faith of God's elect down to the years of history. And I rejoice that it cannot and is not limited just to those who call themselves primitive Baptists. Indeed, I do believe that primitive Baptists, not perfectly, but they have endeavored as a people to maintain and keep house for God, proclaiming the wonderful doctrines of salvation by grace and grace alone. But I rejoice in the glorious and wonderful truth that the love of God spreads beyond our bounds into every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. As you read the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, and I would urge you to read that 10th chapter of John in the near future. You may have read it not long ago. But read it again. It's known as the Great Sheep Chapter. But I remember these words that Jesus says, I have other sheep, not of this fold, and them also I must bring. Oh, I've often rejoiced in those words of sureness and certainty. Them also I must bring. Other sheep, not of this fold, not of the fold of Nancy's Creek or of Chattanooga Church or Friendship Church at Ringgold where I try to serve. But there are other sheep, not only among primitive Baptists, but among every denomination and among every tribe and people upon the face of this earth. And our Lord said, I have sheep, not only of this fold, but of other folds, which I must also bring. Must do it. No doubt about it. I must do it. And they shall be one fold and have one God. We're all going to be one glorious fold over there. Brother Fulmer mentioned that we recognize and know that we're all passing from this life. He said something to that effect when we heard about those who are so sick. And we are. But you know, we just pass from this side of the veil to the other side of the veil. And I rejoice in the glorious and wonderful truth that God is sitting upon his throne. God the Father and God the Son, they are there. And they beheld those on this side of the veil and those of us on this side of the veil, he sees us all. They're better off over there. Oh, yes, indeed they are. And you know why? Because they don't have to be bothered with the sins and the tribulations and the sorrows of this world. And glorious and wonderful truth it is. Maybe we can't always see it, but I believe I'm blessed to see it just now. Yes, indeed, that one day we're going to pass through the veil. For you see, here we see through a glass darkly. We can't see through that veil plainly, but one day we're going to see him as he is, be like him, and be satisfied. And whether we're on this side of the veil or on the other side of the veil, we're all embraced in the everlasting arms of our dear Savior. And so these Israelites were challenged to remember the delivering power of God and what he had done for them. And I challenge you to do the same this morning. And you know what the best way is to remember him? It's by doing the things which he says to you. By following him as his disciple. And as we go further in the pilgrimage of these Israelites, you remember that they came to the River Jordan. They'd been delivered across the Red Sea. And now the Israelites came to the River Jordan. Most of them had perished in the wilderness, but they didn't perish from the everlasting arm of God. They were still his beloved. They were Israelites, remember. But they came to the River Jordan. Moses, that great leader, the one that had just written those words, had written those words that I read to you, Moses was not blessed to cross over the river. But God permitted him to look over the land of Canaan as they stood there upon the mount, overlooked the Jordan River and overlooked the land of Canaan, the promised land. God gave him that ability at 120 years of age with sight undimmed. I believe Moses thanked God for his good eyesight at the age of 120. And so he was blessed to see the whole land of Canaan. Couldn't cross over, but God blessed him to see it. And I believe he remembered the great hand of God through those 40 years in the wilderness. As he led the Israelites. And so he died. And another leader stepped forth, Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's just that simple and true. Joshua, Moses is no longer here. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That's the challenge to continue on. I want to tell you this morning that there are some, I know, among this congregation that years ago they went over this Jordan. And in some sense, I want to broaden the thought of Jordan. I know Jordan in many ways, in a special way, is a figure of baptism and coming into the church and to the kingdom of God. But in a broader sense, I think we sometimes face other Jordans in our lives and other challenges. And we need God's grace and His presence and His deliverance just the same. Go over this Jordan. Some of you may be facing a challenge this morning. You feel so very much the need of God's grace and His presence with you. As God said to Joshua, I say to you, go over this Jordan. Indeed, it may be coming home to the church. Maybe you have stood on Jordan's stormy banks. They've been stormy to you, but I say to you, go over this Jordan. Come on over into Canaan's land. Oh, you'll find wells there that you didn't dig and vineyards there that you didn't plant. You'll find the house of God. You'll find the people of God. And just as God drove out those nations that occupied the land of Canaan before those Israelites, God will drive out those things that might tempt us and distress us and cause us to pause in our forward march to serve Him. Go over this Jordan. God said to Joshua, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, even unto the great river. God gave the land of Canaan to the Israelites. They had it by inheritance, but they didn't have it by possession until they crossed over. They had to go over and possess the land to enjoy it. And so to enjoy the kingdom of God, to enjoy His blessings, we must go over and possess the land. He's given the church to us. But let us go over and possess it and claim it, as did these Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Joshua felt his humanity. He felt his inability in many ways. God said to him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. There have been those who have worshipped here at this place who have been strong and very courageous. They did not let the banner of King Emmanuel fall, but they held it high. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Those in this congregation who have been as stars in the firmament of the heavens. You know, we're in that period of history when Halley's Comet is visiting the heavens. And you go out on a starry night, and you can't see it with your naked eye during these nights. Perhaps you can with binoculars. I know it's not coming with such great visibility as it did the last time. But nevertheless, the point I want to make, you can see that comet in the sky, but you'll just see it for a short while, and then it's gone, never to be seen again by the greater portion of us in this congregation. But those stars, we see them night by night, so dependable. Mariners have found their way upon the great seas by looking at the stars and knowing they could be depended upon. And sometimes I've observed the Lord's people, sometimes maybe as a comet, here today and gone tomorrow, shining for a short while and then they're gone and heard no more. But God's people, oh, how I love to see them as the shining stars of the firmament of God's kingdom here in the world. No, my friends, as I look about in the congregation this morning, I see some stars. Oh, how the thought of you and the memory of you has been so wonderful and so encouraging to me. And I hope everyone, under the sound of my voice today, will continue to shine as stars, not be as a comet that shines only for a short while, disappears, and we never see again. As I come to a close of my remarks, I would leave for you, as perhaps I have reminded you before in years gone by here at Nancy's Creek, to remember Joshua 1:9. Yes, he said in Deuteronomy to remember the days of the past. And now he says, look toward the future. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And so wherever you go, my friends, God has promised to be with you. This verse came forcibly to my mind a number of years ago when I lived here in Atlanta. And one of my bank customers at that time, was taking a trip around the world. And she got as far as India. And that day she visited the famous Taj Mahal and came back to her hotel room in New Delhi. And the next morning, she had a room by herself. The next morning, they missed her as they gathered to tour for that day. She did not appear. They knew something must be wrong. And so they went to her room, some of the hotel officials. The door was locked. They forced their way in, and they found her lying upon the bathroom floor, unconscious. She'd fallen, had a stroke, perhaps, or had fallen and hit her head upon some portion of the bathroom. They never knew for sure. They converted her hotel room into a hospital room for over 3 weeks. And she lay there, unconscious. And she told me that when she came to, after those 3 weeks, that the first thing she saw was this very small man in stature with a turban. He was a Sikh. In recent years, we've read a lot about the conflict between the Hindus and the Sikhs in India. And this was a Sikh doctor. I later had the privilege of meeting him when he came here to Atlanta to visit this customer of mine, Mrs. Edwards. And she saw this Sikh standing there, looking up into the ceiling, but beyond the ceiling, under the heavens. And he had his arms folded and said, praise God, praise God. Here was one of God's people, my friend. He has a people among every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And although this Sikh could not rejoice in the glorious and wondrous truths as we do here this morning, I believe he was one of God's beloved. And he was giving God the praise for seeing the evidence of his patience coming to life again. That was her first memory. And she said next, as soon as she could, she began to read the many telegrams and cards and letters that lay upon her chest nearby. And she said, you know, the very first telegram I opened was this telegram. This was all it said. Read Joshua 1:9. And so I ask you this morning, if you remember nothing else, to remember Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. May God bless you. Thank you for your wonderful attention. And remember me and at the throne of grace. Come ahead.
Wonderful to always hear explanations on the Word of God. Especially good when you read them and you feel like the words were just written for you. They just feel it. Many times we have that great experience. Good to have Brother Joe come back and visit us here at Nancy Creek today. There are three verses I'd like to read in closing. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, very much in harmony with the message, Jesus himself speaking and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Those are powerful words. We can think of them at various times in our lives. Maybe a strange experience for some of you this morning to attend the Trinity Baptist service. We don't particularly try to be different, but at the same time we don't try to be like other folks. It's our practice to, when we come to the close of the service, to sing a hymn and give an opportunity for anyone present, whoever hope in Christ, believe in their hearts that they are his and he is theirs, and they would like to follow him and uniting with the church and being baptized, keeping house for him, give you an opportunity to come and let that be known. We don't go through any form to offer Christ to you. We don't believe there are offers in the gospel for the law to perform certain conditions and be saved. The eternal life is not ours to give. We cannot promise you that if you come down the aisle and do something or say something, that you'll be born again. We don't believe that. The new birth is not ours to give. But we do believe that people who have been born again love God and are proper subjects for the church when they repent, as that new birth will lead them to do. And so if you love God, the Bible says you are born again. If you believe in Christ, the Bible says you are born again. And so we extend an opportunity for those people to come to live in the church. We expect to sing a verse or two while we give that opportunity. And then, at the end of the second verse, whatever song we sing, we will shake hands with one another. Handshaking is to us a gesture of love. We don't mean it in any other way except to say by that little gesture, "I love you for Christ's sake." So we invite everyone, whether you're a member of this church or some other church or no church at all, we invite you to join in as we come. We'll start here, or the Coker will start, and then the pew behind him until all of this side, and then when they have come, we would start from the back on that side and turn around until we have had an opportunity to shake hands with each other. We will turn to number 161. Ask you to join in with us as we sing this old hymn. We first give an opportunity for members and then shake hands with one another as a Christian gesture of love. Number 161, let us stand. For the children. How firm the foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge shall cling. I'll we've had today. Thank the Lord for his felt presence in our midst. We're thankful for all of you who have come to visit with us. As our usual practice, we have learned, gives us that much time to be together and visit together and find out how each other are doing, and just let that bond grow between us. Several of you here that I don't know, but you're welcome. We want you to stay and just make yourself at home and have lunch with us and visit during this hour fellowship. Are there any other expressions that anyone would like to know?
Brother, I do it just like to say that you have a cordial invitation to come and be with us in our home at Windsor, Georgia. But we've got to move this most likely now. The church has friendship that we know in the church in Chattanooga. We've got to have it in the town. The church in Chattanooga will be entertaining the union meeting the last weekend in March, Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday. And we'll be very happy to have any of you to come then, as well as any other time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes,
sir.
Also, we have a card. I brought it, but I left it in the car. But I'll just mention it. Elmer and Laura Wilkinson will be celebrating their golden anniversary, wedding anniversary, at Bethany Church, Cincinnati. Do you remember the Sunday of next Sunday, the 12th? That's in the afternoon, I believe. 2:30 to 5. Evidently, you all have received notice. This was addressed to the church, so everyone invited to come to Bethany Church next Sunday afternoon. Is there anything else?